from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, April 4th. Coming up, Wednesday marks the 100th anniversary of the first broadcast by WILL-AM. We'll hear an encore presentation of Jim Meadows' story about the station's early days coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Democratic lawmakers last week unveiled a multi-billion dollar spending plan to combat increased crime throughout the state. Caroline Kobzanski explains.
Democrats say they want to address the root causes of crime by giving communities more resources, an extra $8 million for preventing youth incarceration, and $185 million more for programs to help kids who face poverty and mental health issues. Representative Jahan Gordon Booth of Peoria says the package is a balanced approach to the crime problem.
We all know that violence is a public health crisis that we have to be smart and tough on. That is the measure, that is the balance that we are looking to strike.
Democrats and Republicans are also pushing a measure to fight smash-and-grab retail theft, which has jumped during the pandemic. I'm Caroline Kobzanski.
Illinois Senate Democrats are proposing several measures to give people a collective $1.8 billion in tax breaks. State Senator L.G. Sims says the package incorporates things from the governor's wish list.
We are wiping out the state sales tax on groceries for 6 months, and we're similarly stopping higher gas taxes from taking effect this summer. It's as simple as that.
Governor J.B. Pritzker originally suggested temporarily suspending the 1% grocery tax and roughly 2-cent gas tax increase for a full year. The plan also includes one-time income tax rebates of $100 for individuals making up to $250,000 and $200 for households making up to $500,000. Property owners could get property tax refunds up to $300. The governor's office says it's looking forward to reviewing their proposals. Two big Midwestern organizations are teaming up to feed refugees fleeing the Ukrainian war zone. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, they've secured seaports and shipping containers, as well as a warehouse in Poland.
Illinois-based Midwest Food Bank and Missouri-based Convoy of Hope are sending food and supplies to Ukrainian refugees. Mike Hoffman is the logistics director for the Midwest Food Bank. He says they've already sent over one sea container, which can feed about 250,000 people, and they plan to ship at least two more.
This isn't something that's short-lived. This is going to be a long-term commitment. Let's say the war ends tomorrow. It'd be awesome. But there's a lot of infrastructure that's totally gone over there, and they're going to take a lot of support and a lot of need for quite a while.
Hoffman says those containers have been entirely funded by community donations. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, a look back at the early days of WILL-AM as the station celebrates the 100th anniversary of its first broadcast later this week. That story from Jim Meadows is coming up next on 217 Today.
This is Erica Scalise, and I'm the engagement producer at The 21st Show. What issues happening in Illinois matter most to you? Join The 21st Texting Club and add to our weekly conversation. To subscribe to the group, text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. See you there.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. This Wednesday marks the 100th anniversary of the first broadcast by WILL-AM, the oldest component of Illinois Public Media. The University of Illinois launched the station at a time when the idea of using radio to reach a mass audience was new and cutting edge. This week, we're looking back at the station's earlier days, starting with a report we first aired in January. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows goes back to WILL's beginning.
If you had a really old radio, the kind that used more than one knob to tune in a station, it might make this noise.
When you were tuning and trying to go from one station to another, you heard what sounded like occult noises from deep space, from the ether.
From the ether, meaning the upper reaches of the sky. Media historian Susan Douglas with the University of Michigan says that for many Americans, in WILL-AM's first year of broadcasting, 1922, the sound of a radio being tuned evoked a kind of romantic potential, the potential that you might hear anything from anywhere.
And back then it was miraculous. It was a miracle to people that you could put some headphones on and you could hear voices and music from 50 miles away, 100 miles away.
There were only a couple of million radios in the U.S. in 1922, and many areas still had no stations of their own. There were no radio networks yet, and radio advertising was still a new and controversial idea. It was in this setting that the University of Illinois received a license to operate a radio station specifically for broadcasting to a mass audience. The station's first home was the U of I's Electrical Engineering Lab, and it was overseen for many years by the campus publicity department. Joseph Wright was the U of I's publicity director and WILL's first director of broadcasting from the mid-1920s through the 40s. He once spoke with WYLL about his memories of the station's first transmitter and first set of call letters.
Hugh Brown, a professor of electrical engineering, had built a small transmitter of 100 watts or so for an experimental project, and that was the only thing the university had in the real early days. He dubbed it WRM. Most of us called it the worm, and he said, no, that means we reach millions.
Maybe not millions, but WRM did receive its share of mail from DXers, listeners searching their radio dials for distant stations and then writing in to let them know. No recordings exist of the early broadcasts that those DXers heard on WRM, but Susan Douglas says the programming on most university stations and radio's earliest days were something of a jumble.
You might have a lecture on home economics, followed by somebody singing, followed by weather reports, followed by crop reports. It was, you know, you didn't know what you were getting.
And they were terrible at it until the 1930s.
That's Josh Shepard, a media studies professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He says radio was so new in the 1920s, and so new to university faculty and staff, that things like regular program schedules and effective microphone technique only came gradually. But Shepard says from the 1930s onward, the staff at WRM, now WILL, would become a leader in the field of educational broadcasting. Calling itself the University of the Air, WILL produced programs that ranged from classical music to farm broadcasts to ball games. Recordings of some of those broadcasts still survive.
American Light Opera. The milestones of American light opera from the days of Reginald de Koven to now. Today, we continue the life of Victor Herbert.
Near and far, there you are, curtain in the net of Tiffany Rich Irene. Oh, there.
Good afternoon, homemakers. This is your quarter hour, presented Monday through Friday by the Home Economics Department of the University of Illinois. This is food preservation time on your quarter hour. And Miss Rowene France of our food research.
He stops, pass over to Evers. Evers out to the hay pack. 1 second left to play. The ball is way up in the air. Hay pack threw it high in the air so no one could shoot that ball. And Illinois wins by a 35 to 33 count.
You heard clips from American Light Opera, recorded at the WILL studios in 1948 or 49. Then an episode of the Homemakers Quarter Hour with Jesse Heathman, and Jim Ebel calling the end of a close Illinois-Northwestern basketball game from 1940. Josh Shepard says WILL, along with key U of I communications faculty such as Wilbur Schramm and Dallas Smythe, did important work in developing educational broadcasting both at the local and national level.
And they really, really cared about this work. There was almost no incentive. There was almost no money for it. But the practitioners that coalesced around Urbana-Champaign really had this vision that media could serve public amelioration of access to democracy, education, equity, all these kinds of things.
In this past hour, we have given you a bird's eye view of five decades.
In 1972, WILL looked back in a special 50th anniversary broadcast. By then, we were on TV, broadcasting new programs like Sesame Street. And on WILL-FM, which had begun airing a new daily news program called All Things Considered. As WYLL marks its 100th anniversary, we're looking back at the station's history again. And for the future, we'll see what comes out of the ether.
But now, though this program comes to a close, we do not sign off. We look forward to another 50 years of broadcasting with these Sounds of Sinon.
I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
Our celebration of WILL's centennial continues tomorrow when we'll hear the story behind the station's recording of a University of Illinois appearance by the African-American poet Langston Hughes. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says showers end this morning, then we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a high of 61 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Caroline Kubzanski, Alex Degman, Dana Cronin, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulvane. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.